have Tracy Carluccio. So Tracy, you should be able to unmute yourself to begin.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Tracy Carluccio, Deputy Director, Delaware Riverkeeper Network. Our hearts go out to those who have suffered from Hurricane Ida. This seems to be the last business meeting before you will issue the much anticipated revised draft gas regulations, now due according to your resolution on November 30th. Today, you will hear from representatives of the Delaware River Frac Band Coalition, who are taking this opportunity to provide you, the DRBC commissioners, the information needed to support a complete ban on fracking operations in the Delaware River watershed. That means banning the storage, processing, and discharge of the wastewater produced by fracking, which would import toxic pollution, and the banning of the export of Delaware River water to fuel fracking outside of the basin, which would be unconscionable. Each coalition representative will be covering a specific issue related to fracking wastewater or water depletion. This morning, I'm going to be focusing on the impacts of the export of water from the watershed to feed fracking. Fracking requires enormous amounts of water to fracture a well. According to recent figures, the volume of water used in Pennsylvania's Marcellus has increased from an average of 4.3 million gallons in 2011 to 11.4 million gallons in 2017 for each fracked well. This is because drillers are using increasingly longer horizontal bore holes when they develop a shale gas well. Some well bore holes are longer than 4 miles, called super wells, requiring 2 to 3 times more water. The strain of the withdrawal of so much water has myriad impacts on the water quality and ecological health of waterways from which it is taken. Approvals for water withdrawals by agencies, including DRBC, are not based on preserving the ecological health and seasonal flows needed to keep a stream healthy. Under current regulations, it's possible that 70% of the water can be taken from small streams for well development during low flow conditions, even with a buffer built in. This means doom for the life and quality of a stream. We simply won't let the watershed streams be made into ditches drained by the fracking industry. The water problem is compounded by the fact that the water used in fracking is never returned to the source, making this a depletive use, and all of the water used for fracking would have to be an out-of-basin transfer since fracking is banned here. Additionally, most of the water injected for fracking stays beneath the ground, so is totally lost to that hydrologic cycle that Amy talked about at the beginning of the meeting. A rare and deeply destructive occurrence. And what does return is contaminated by fracking chemicals, proppants, deep geology pollutants, as you will hear more about today from our speakers. The truth is, water use for fracking is simply not sustainable. If DRBC were to allow this, it would be allowing the depletion of our most precious, irreplaceable, and vulnerable asset, water, the basis for life here and throughout the globe. Commissioners, ban fracking completely. Ban all water exports for fracking and all fracking wastewater imports. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today.
Thank you. Next on the list was Jeff Tittle. I'm not sure we see his name on the list. Perhaps he's calling in. If he does, *9 and raise your hand. The next one after Jeff is Eric Weltman. So we'll continue to look for Jeff, but
yeah, let's go to Eric Weltman, Steve. Eric, you should be able to speak now or unmute yourself and speak.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. My name is Eric Weltman, and I'm a Brooklyn-based senior organizer. Excuse me. My name is Eric Weltman, and I'm a Brooklyn-based senior organizer with Food and Water Watch. I'm speaking today along with our incredible allies in the DRBC Frac Ban Coalition to send a message to the 4 governors on the commission, including my own Governor Hochul and the Biden administration. Institute a complete, full, comprehensive ban on fracking, that is, on all fracking-related activities in the Delaware River Basin. This includes a ban on fracking waste and a ban on water withdrawals for fracking. New York has a ban on fracking. However, we are still very much threatened by fracking. Fracking continues to endanger our water, our health, our communities, and our environment. It continues to contribute to climate catastrophes like Ida that wreck our neighborhoods and destroy lives. And it threatens a source of drinking water for millions of New Yorkers. We are suffering here in New York from an onslaught of pipelines and power plants that transport and burn fracked gas from states like Pennsylvania. And we're at risk of our water being contaminated by fracking waste, a toxic brew of hundreds of toxic chemicals and radioactive materials. On Tuesday, I visited one of the neighborhoods in Queens hard hit by Ida. I saw the devastation and spoke with people who experienced the fear and the trauma of the storm. Folks, New Yorkers are dying from climate change, and it's your responsibility. It's your obligation as members to do everything in your power to move our nation off fossil fuels. That means doing everything within your power to halt the flow of the gas, stop the production of waste, and create as big a roadblock as you can to any further drilling and fracking. I want to briefly highlight the importance of the Biden administration's role on the commission. This issue, folks, this issue is a key test of President Biden's commitment to prove that he respects the science around climate change. As a Pennsylvania native and Delaware resident, we know that President Biden cherishes the river and understands and appreciates its value. This is an incredible opportunity for President Biden to defend this incredibly vital resource. On behalf of Food and Water Watch, I urge you to institute a complete ban on fracking related activities in the Delaware River Basin. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is Megan Steele and then Taylor McFarlane?
Yes, Megan is here. Megan, you should be able to speak now.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
And I will be speaking for Sierra Club, New Jersey, so Taylor will not be on today, just so you know. But hi, my name is Megan Steele, and I'm the communications coordinator for the Sierra Club, New Jersey chapter. Today, I'm going to be talking about the need to ban all frack wastewater imports and water exports for fracking because of the negative impacts to aquatic life. So the EPA's 2018 Oil and Gas Wastewater Report delved into the impacts that treated fracking wastewater discharges are having on species living in waterways. The EPA states that frack wastewater can negatively affect aquatic life and documents that with studies by scientists and the PADEP. It was found in one study that juvenile federally listed northern riffle shell mussels had very low survival rates when in waterways downstream of frack wastewater effluent discharges. Patnode et al. Performed an in-situ study on the lethality of centralized waste treatment, or CWT, effluent to juvenile unioned mussels, which are federally listed endangered species. Using caged mussels at an array of sites downstream of a CWT facility, these authors found that mussel survival decreased significantly at sites with high specific conductivity related to the CWT discharge. It was also found that there was less diversity and abundance of mussels in CWT discharge downstream locations than in upstream locations. The same EPA report included a study from PADEP that documented that macroinvertebrates and phytoplankton upstream of CWT discharges contained a higher percentage of pollution-intolerant macroinvertebrate species compared to pollution-tolerant species. Downstream of brine discharges and CWT facilities showed reduced species richness and contained a higher percentage of pollution tolerant compared to pollution intolerant species. It is clear that aquatic life is being impacted by wastewater being discharged in Pennsylvania, despite meeting current treatment standards. This is a red flag that has not been noticed by the agency, since this finding has not informed policy or regulations regarding fracking wastewater discharges in the Commonwealth. If fracking wastewater is imported from Pennsylvania to the Delaware River watershed for storage or disposal, these unsolved pollution problems will come with it. In the DRBC's 2017 draft gas regulations, there was no treatment offered that would eliminate these impacts on aquatic life. This is because fracking wastewater cannot be processed to standards that protect aquatic life. Therefore, we are asking you to ban fracking completely, ban all frack wastewater imports and water exports for fracking. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think you indicated Taylor was not going to be here. So if that's the case, then Coralie Pride and then Doug O'Malley.
All right. Coralie Pride, you should be able to speak now.
Yes. Coralie Pride speaking for the League of Women Voters, Delaware. The outstanding biological diversity of the Delaware River estuary and bay bring tourists from around the world. It also supports vital industries such as harvesting oysters, crabs, and other aquatic species that are vital to our economy. Allowing fracking waste to enter the river upstream will inevitably affect the ecology of the Delaware estuary and bay. There are numerous classes of chemicals in water used in fracking that can be toxic to insects and fish. Heavy metals are toxic to almost all animals in high concentrations. Treatments used for industrial waste may remove large amounts of these heavy metals, but leave enough to cause accumulative damage to both insects and fish. The vast number and nature of organic materials in fracking waste require daunting work to identify species present and assess their toxicity. For example, a variety of biocides may be added to fracking mixtures under the conditions present in deep well fracking. Many are transformed into new materials with different degrees of toxicity. Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons such as naphthalene are present in gas and oil deposits and may also be added to fracking fluids. They are toxic in various degrees to a wide variety of fish and insects, particularly in their embryonic, larval, or juvenile stages. Organic compounds are not removed during waste treatment. Along with the organic materials, inorganic salts are present in high levels in fracking water, making even treated water highly toxic to freshwater aquatic species. Radioactive elements are present in unusually high levels in the Marcellus Shale and are not removed from fracking water by any treatments now used. Allowing untreated water from spills or partially treated water from sewage plants and industrial waste treatment plants to enter the Delaware River will inevitably disturb the biological balance and decrease biodiversity in the river. These negative effects will be reflected in the health of the estuary and bay, limiting the food supply and available for predator fish and birds and causing toxic organic...
The critical nature of a full ban on fracking waste and every activity in the watershed is paramount. Obviously, the DRBC, in its wisdom, decided to delay the regulations to... 2018 frack waste treatment report that wastewater produced by oil and gas treatment discharge are permitted centralized waste treatment facilities today. And that pollution in the treated discharge is having harmful impacts right now at the stream and watershed level. On those downstream surface water quality and sediment show the discharges pollution in these streams and the dangerous level of contaminants. In its report, EPA says many are pollutants of concern and negative human health impacts, including bromides and chlorides, heavy metals, and a wide range of poor chemicals in the injected concentrations exceed water threshold. The elevated concentrations can negatively affect human health, including bromide and chloride, and discharge wastewater from oil and gas extraction wells progressed to current standards. A quote, documented impacts of bromine and pH and drinking water demonstrate that this effluent poses human health risks related to drinking water contamination. We would strongly encourage you to be reports when promulgating these regulations and to move not just for half protections, but a full statement. These all fracking waste, all water discharge, There's no way to do this safely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next speaker is the speaker with the exhibit, Barbara Arundel. So bear with me one second. We will have conflicting screen sharing problems here. So I will ask Barbara Arundel, or at least let her know that at 3 minutes, Dave, can you at least say when the 3 minute time is up?
Yes, I will stop sharing my screen.
So I need to share my screen. Bear with me a second. Hold on.
And Barbara, you do have an open mic right now.
Technology. Here we go. Can you? Oh no, hold on. There we go. Is that working?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. This is Barbara Arundel. I'm the director of Damascus Citizens for Sustainability. The Marcellus Shale Formation is one of the most radioactive of shale deposits. In fact, according to comparisons of radium-226 and 228, a produced water or flowback, also called brine, from shale deposits across the nation, Marcellus Formation brine has the highest levels at 28,500 picocuries per liter, according to PADEP. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission requires industrial discharges to remain below 60 picocuries per liter for both forms of radium, and the EPA has a combined radium-226 and 228 of 5 picocuries per liter for drinking water. That radium-226 has a half-life of 1,600 years means that it will be present in the environment for thousands of years and has dangerous human health effects, including cancer. And note that radium degrades to radon, which has widely recognized health impacts. Radium also is water soluble, especially in high salt environments, meaning that it travels easily with the salty wastewater. Pressure from deep within the earth in the oil and gas formation layers where the radioactive material is naturally occurring forces the material to the surface with the gas and brine. From the wellhead, the radioactive wastewater is transported to wherever it is discharged, which would be the Delaware River watershed if the DRBC were to allow drilling wastewater to be imported, stored, processed, discharged, or disposed of here. Conventional drilling has been shown, similar to fracking, to release radioactive wastewater, and there is no way to know exactly where waste is coming from, so the only fracking designation does not mean much. With that import, additionally, illegal dumping, accidents, and spills are inevitable. Despite the scientific evidence, the radioactivity of drilling waste is largely unrecognized by regulators and the public. A report released in July by NRDC and Justin Noble's PowerPoint that has been submitted show how the glaring lack of regulation of oil and gas extraction activities are endangering workers, nearby communities, and the environment due to this radioactivity. The disposal of radioactive wastewater is allowed to be mishandled due to federal and state loopholes and exemptions that shield the companies from liability. NRDC's report provides scientific research documenting high levels of radioactive materials from drilling that are being released into the environment in Pennsylvania and other states. Even small increased exposure to radioactivity can have adverse health effects, according to a study done on young patients with Ewing sarcoma in Canada. And there's Ewing sarcoma in Western Pennsylvania.
Your time is up, if you can just finish up, please.
Okay, just one more thought. Considerable medical studies point to exposure to increased amounts of radioactivity produced malignancy, and the effects of the other toxic components of the waste add to the problem. The DRBC must ban the import of drilling waste and export of water for drilling elsewhere. Thank you for allowing me to comment.
Thank you. Eric Benson is next, and then Sahana Rao.
I think I got you here. Thanks. All right. Hi, everyone. This is Eric Benson for Clean Water Action, New Jersey Campaigns Director. I'm just calling to call on you all that we need a full ban on fracking, including wastewater withdrawals and waste imports. I'm going to speak about the negative impacts on transporting, you know, these waste products. So according to the EPA's study, spills and pollution releases occur during the transportation of wastewater. EPA documents that these releases have negative impacts on water quality and aquatic life. The harm can persist for years after a spill. Directly from the report, another pathway for environmental releases of pollutants from disposal of oil and gas water, wastewater at centralized waste treatment is the potential for spills of wastewater during transportation from oil and gas wells or at treatment facilities. Spills of untreated wastewaters can negatively impact quality and aquatic life, and these impacts can persist in the environment for years. Flowback water spills in the Marcellus Shale region have been shown to negatively impact aquatic life, including fish and macroinvertebrates, end quote. The EPA also states that the studies show that the likelihood of spills increase as the volume of wastewater and number of trips increase. Quote, the likelihood of spills during transportation increases as the volume of wastewater and number of trips increases, end quote. In the Marcellus Shale, fracking a gas well uses an average of 11.4 million gallons of water today and subsequently produces more wastewater. The deeper Utica formation uses even more. The new supersized frack gas wells in these formations are drilling horizontal well bores up to 4 miles long, and that translates to at least 1 to 1.5 million gallons of wastewater for a 10 million gallon fracking operation, an increase per well of 2 to 3 times over. A new glut of wastewater has to go someplace. This is a reason that there is pressure from the industry to open up the Delaware River watershed to wastewater produced by fracking. They have huge volumes to get rid of, and they are running out of places to take it. In addition to the increased pressure for huge volumes of wastewater looking for a place to go, the increased transport, storage, and handling of wastewater means more opportunities for spills and accidents that result in uncontrolled releases of this highly contaminated waste. EPA, in their 2018 report, cites a study that says wastewater is one of the top three materials spilled in fracking activities. That means substantial risk of pollution from spills and accidents if wastewater were to be imported from the Delaware River Basin for storage, treatment, and disposal. Ban fracking completely. Ban all fracking wastewater imports and water exports for fracking. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Sahana Wes Gillingham would follow.
Sahana, you are able to speak now.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. All right. My name is Sahana Rao, and I am an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council, which is part of the Delaware River Basin Frack Ban Coalition. I'm here to speak to the importance of ensuring a full ban on fracking that includes the import of frack wastewater. One of the many reasons we must ensure a full frack ban is to protect people and the environment from the harms associated with per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS. A new report called Fracking with Forever Chemicals, published by the Physicians for Social Responsibility, exposes that PFAS have been used extensively in drilling and fracking gas and oil wells, and that the public is unaware of this pathway of pollution. The data in this report shows that PFAS and or substances that can degrade into PFAS have been used in fracking in more than 1,200 wells in six U.S. states between 2012 and 2020. An analysis of public data by the Philadelphia Inquirer editorial board identified the use of one of these forever chemicals in at least 8 Pennsylvania fracking wells between 2012 and 2014. The chemical identified by the board is polytetrafluoroethylene, commonly known as Teflon, which PubChem reports is reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen. PFAS are already a worldwide pollution problem of epic proportions as scientists and governments struggle to locate contamination and to contain its spread. They're called forever chemicals because they persist indefinitely in the environment. PFAS accumulate in the natural world and in the human body, are highly toxic, even at very small doses, and are linked to several diseases and adverse health conditions, including cancers, which are particularly dangerous for infants, children, women of childbearing age, and immune-compromised individuals. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency explains in its comprehensive report on wastewater produced by oil and gas extraction that both fracking fluids and constituents from the source geological formation can end up in frack wastewater. The report states that oil and gas wastewaters contain a variety of chemicals from sources such as frack fluid additives, well stimulation, and well maintenance activities. This means that the PFAS compounds used in fracking fluids can carry through to the wastewater that would be transferred to the Delaware River Basin for disposal if the DRBC were to allow frack wastewater to be imported and stored, processed, discharged, or disposed here. And that's why it is imperative that such activity be prohibited in the forthcoming regulations. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Wes Gillingham, Karen Ferradin, after Wes.
Give me a second. I saw Wes, but now I'm not seeing him. So he's up at the top. Thanks for raising your hand. Wes, you should be able to speak now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. This is Wes Gillingham from Catskill Mountain Keeper. I represent organizations across the Western Catskills and the Upper Delaware River. There was an article published this spring by author and Pennsylvania resident Eliza Griswold, which examined how wastewater produced by fracking is endangering the health of residents, focusing on children who have developed a rare form of cancer. It was called When the Kids Are Getting Sick. From the article, the problem posed by fracking waste in the region's wastewater came to the public's attention in 2008 when the Monongahela River, which provided drinking water to some 300,000 people, acquired a salty taste. It turned out that waste haulers were trucking millions of gallons of wastewater to municipal sewage treatment plants. This is a well-documented activity that happened and mistake that was made. They did not realize that the facilities could not properly process it. The commission is considering allowing frack wastewater to be imported to the Delaware River Basin. While the draft rules had requirements for waste treatment industrial plants, not sewage treatment plants, the draft regulations do not contain safeguards that would keep many of the same pollutants that Eliza Griswold mentions out of the river and streams. Salts, chemicals, radioactive elements are still going to be discharged due to the inability of the processing plants to treat them, or not knowing what toxins are actually in the waste due to trade secrets and such that we have seen documented over and over the last number of years. And also because of the extreme reaches of the Delaware River and how it everywhere is not properly, adequately monitored. In February 2019, there was a local TV station that covered the Ewing's sarcoma cases among young people. And then there was a follow-up with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which documented 27 cases of Ewing's between 2008 and 2018 in Washington, Greene, Westmoreland, and Fayette counties. Templeton and Hopi, the authors, raised the possibility that the cancers could be caused by radioactive fracking in the waste. This is just another example of all the issues we have bringing up here for years. PA Governor Tom Wolf ordered $3 million study on the cancer cluster. And in the end of that article, there is a quote by Gerald Jackson, whose son died, who was a soldier in the Army. And what do you say when your son tells you he is scared of dying? There's no words for that. And then there was a supervisor for the town on the Monongahela River that refused to continue to take fracking wastewater due to the local cancers. No amount of money was worth a kid's death. And it'll just take me a minute to close out here. There is no logical reason why an interstate commission tasked with protecting the Delaware Basin would participate in aiding and abetting this industrial practice, which we have shown over and over the years is loaded with serious problems, any one of which would cause it to be shut down. PFAS, radioactivity, a cornucopia list of toxins from the Marcellus Shale. We've been told that climate is not an issue. and that you are only just working with water quality and quantity, well, there's no reason why this commission, again, should aid and abet an industrial process that's threatening the region as it is, which is well documented. Thank you. Sorry for running over.
Thank you. Just a point of clarification, and perhaps I heard wrong. At one point, you had referenced the draft regulations, and I just want to be clear that I think what you were referencing were draft regulations and provisions in those regulations that the commissioners withdrew. So the draft regulations on this matter have not been published yet, and that was a subject of an item on the business meeting. They will be published by November. So I hope I heard that correctly, but there was some reference to DRVC draft regulations, and this matter is still not the draft regulations specifically for this matter are not out yet. Karen Ferradin and Milton London.
Karen, you should be able to speak now.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much. And just to follow up on what Wes was talking about, last week we learned about another cancer diagnosis, Ewing sarcoma of a 12-year-old in Western Pennsylvania. But I wanted to talk today as Karen Ferradin, Berks Gas Truth's founder, about climate change. I was looking for comments from the commissioners connecting Hurricane Ida, climate change, and the need for action. My own governor, Tom Wolf, had nothing to say on the subject. But others did. The clearest call to action came from Governor Murphy, who said that the world is changing and, quote, our whole mindset, the playbook that we use, quote, must change too. Quote, we have got to leap forward and get out ahead of this, end quote. The way to get ahead of this is to get ahead of this. Quoting from the Philadelphia Inquirer, quote, during Ida, the Schuylkill at 30th Street Station in Philadelphia rose to 16.28 feet. Flood stage is 9 feet, and 14 feet is considered a major flood. The average flow at the location is 1,460 feet, cubic feet per second. It reached a flow of 125,000 cubic feet per second last Thursday. Dozens of sewage and storm pipes overflowed, emptying untreated water directly into Philadelphia's major waterways. So if you saw pictures on social media of people diving into the water and paddling around for fun, they were almost assuredly swimming in diluted sewage, end quote. And that's just Philadelphia. It is an understatement to say that Ida took a toll on the water resources of the Delaware River Basin. You are considering regulations that would enable the industry that is killing us. There are only two things the fracking industry needs right now. One, more water and lots of it to frack up communities in my state and others. And two, more places to dump their waste. The regulations you are considering developing would give the industry both of those things. The result of giving them those things would be to ensure storms like Ida would become become increasingly intense and frequent. According to the New York Times, Ida shattered the record for rainfall in a single hour in Central Park. The record it shattered was set days earlier by Tropical Storm Henri. Records are already being broken way too fast. But the even crazier part is that as ever more intense storms would be coming with ever greater frequency, the industry would be depriving the basin of clean water and exposing it to the contamination of imported wastewater at the same time. Approve the regulations you are now considering, and you will think back to managing the water resources of the Delaware River Basin in the aftermath of Ida as the good old days. You want to get out ahead of it? Get ahead of it. Ban water withdrawals and the importing of waste from drilling and fracking. Make the ban on fracking the full ban that we need. Thank you very much.
Hey, excuse me, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Eric Sildorf, Restoration Director for the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. And on behalf of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, the Clean Air Council, Penn Future, Environment New Jersey, I hereby submit the following for the Commission's consideration. Note, a complete and more detailed copy will also be submitted electronically. Honorable Commissioners, we call your attention to the alarming conditions experienced in the tidal Delaware River over the last 3 years, and these are irrespective of the recent floods and hurricanes. Oxygen conditions during the summer of 2021, like those in 2019 and 2020, reached lethally low concentrations. Let me emphasize, in the absence of commission action to upgrade the uses and dissolved oxygen standards for the tidal Delaware River, there is no floor that protects oxygen conditions for the river's aquatic life. Atlantic sturgeon, American shad, and striped bass, among a host of other species, will all be exposed to lethal concentrations of dissolved oxygen during the critical early life stages for spawning and rearing. Dissolved oxygen can and will fall below 3.5 milligrams per liter until standards are raised and pollutant loads are reduced. Let me share a brief summary of the numbers. For the 20-mile reach between the Ben Franklin Bridge and the Commodore Barry Bridge, dissolved oxygen fell below 3.5 milligrams per liter in each summer of 2019, 2020, and 2021, falling as low as 2.8 milligrams per liter in 2020. It is time to call your attention to some of the worst conditions seen in the tidal river over the last 15 years and for 3 years in a row. These concentration numbers are alarming enough, yet the context for these oxygen numbers is even more alarming. Each summer from 2019 through 2021, dissolved oxygen saturation fell below 50% in zone 3 and 4 of the tidal river. Yes, our abuse of the river has left less than half of the available oxygen for the fish and other aquatic life who have no alternative source for life-giving oxygen. The magnitude of our continued gross pollution of the Delaware River has no modern equivalent in our region and few in the nation. You, the commission, and all stakeholders in the Delaware estuary know the causes of the depressed oxygen, which is loading of BOD, and the simple solution to the problem, using available technologies such as nitrification to reduce BOD loads. Lethal oxygen conditions occur only because we have failed to take action and reduce pollutant loads using these conventional technologies. We urgently request action from the commission instead of further delays. At this critical juncture in history, with so much on the line, the commission can once again demonstrate its leadership role in rebuilding our communities and restoring our ecosystems. Delay no further. Act now for our endangered species and special species of the estuary, for our economic recovery, and for the generations to come who will learn the history of how an ecosystem can be reborn. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sildorf, or Dr. Sildorf. As you're well aware, the commission is taking action on several fronts on this matter, and refer you and everyone else in the public to DRBC's website and Resolution 2017-04, the multiple studies working towards addressing these issues. With that, let me circle back, make sure that we haven't missed anybody. Jeff Tittle. At one point, Coralie Pride, I don't know if she wants to finish her comments. If you do, please raise your hand. And then Milton London, Anna Murin, and David Pringle, if you're here, please raise your hand. Someone did raise their hand.
That was Coralie Pride, Steve.
Okay. Yeah, if you could allow her to finish, please.
Coralie. I believe you just need to unmute on your end as well, and you should be able to speak. I have allowed you to talk online.
Okay. Was having trouble unmuting. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Like the other speakers, I've talked about the vast number of toxic chemicals that are in fracking waste, and particularly notice that the treatments we're using at centralized waste treatment plants, which are used for industrial waste, do not remove many, perhaps most, of these toxic chemicals. Wherever these treated water goes into the Delaware River, it will inevitably disturb the biological balance and decrease biodiversity in the river. And these negative effects will be reflected in the health of the estuary and bay, limiting the food supply available for predator fish and birds and causing toxic organic compounds, heavy metals, and radionuclides to bioaccumulate in important species. Radium attaches to silt in the river. It will thus eventually accumulate in the Delaware estuary and in the 100-foot depths of the Delaware Bay. with a half-life of 1,600 years, radium-226 will pollute this vital resource for centuries and even millennia to come. And that is why fracking waste should not be allowed in the Delaware River Basin. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you joining us again. So I think for those of you who have signed up in advance, thank you. Much appreciated. It does help us plan and organize, especially in a virtual manner. For those who want to speak in the future to open public comment, I would encourage you to sign up in advance. With that, I think we've gotten through everyone who's signed up in advance, and I will end the open public comment. And we'll thank everyone for attending the DRC business meeting and the open public comment session. And I'm going to stop the session. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.